This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you. Happy weekend. Jim Inman and Dr. David Pillar in the studio. How was your week, sir?
Fabulous, Jim.
Was it?
Yeah. Wait, let's see. Wednesday night went to the Bon Jovi concert at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
I saw a Facebook post about this. So, how was it?
You know, it was pretty good. He did a neat thing. That for the tour this year, they had like a local band they had a local band open for them, and they did a contest in all of their markets where they were going to have a concert, and they had a contest, and people submitted videos or tapes. I don't know if people submit tapes. I don't know how that works. You know what I mean?
Got out the camcorder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But anyway, then they chose a local band for each of their tour stops to open for them. So I thought that was kind of a neat way to, and so some
really?
Band from Kokomo played three or four songs. They were fine, and everything went well. And
and this was a live show as opposed to an acoustic, an electric versus acoustic
live
kind of
show,
thing.
Totally live with lights and craziness and, okay. and all that stuff.
Because
so.
I know at one point he had done a tour where it was, you know, the laid back.
No, this was
living on a prayer,
living
kind
on
of
a prayer, and you give love a bad name, and
excellent.
The whole deal, and it was very good. And
good,
and I saw Poison, Def Leppard, and Cheap Trick. I think in 2009. And Def Leppard was on its last leg. Joe Elliott was on his last legs at that point. And
yeah.
they're still out touring now, which shows what I know, but his voice was shot then. But I wanted to see Bon Jovi before that happened. And it was a great show. Good
times. I saw Steve Perry from Journey this week.
Oh.
I was checking out of Kroger on the downtown side. And this guy, I mean, dead ringer, had the mullet, had the skinny jeans. I mean, I just wanted to ask him.
It wasn't really Steve Perry,
but
yeah,
just for a moment.
Remember, I saw Michael Phelps last week in Arizona, and that was different because it was really him, and that was awesome.
I should have gotten a photo with the imaginary
Steve Perry. Sister Station WTTS, you got to check in with all of the concerts that are coming up this year. Lots and lots of. I just heard Sheryl Crow is going to be at the Palladium.
So, she has a new album coming out.
I will be there for that one.
Oh!
Huge fan.
Okay.
Saw her in 97, 98-ish probably. So it's been 20 years. It's been long enough, Cheryl. We need to get this back together. So
that's awesome. That is
absolutely.
Awesome. Packed show for everybody tonight. Dr. Pillar. Mr.
Yes.
Trooper Kent Rolfing is going to be on the show in just a few minutes.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
Good stuff. Good conversation. Really appreciate that Kent comes in a couple times a year along with Kurt Durnell and Brad Swain's been in, so we just try to keep news in law, because it's best to get this law enforcement news and you know, whether it's Kurt with traffic or Kent with the drug stuff or Brad with the local stuff. You know, Glass does a good job with Captain Kellum's in the morning, you know, every couple of weeks getting you caught up. It's important for everyone to know what's happening in the law enforcement scene and to get word straight from them.
Right.
On some stuff that they're dealing with and that you as a community can help with. And I think so we'll hear from Kent tonight about, again, what they're doing on the drug task force in our region and maybe some ways that you can support their work and take care of your friends and neighbors and keep people safe and get them the help they need. So,
and it's also March Madness time. We've got a big game after the Friday night show.
Is your bracket busted, Jim?
You know, I normally enter two, and I didn't get the second one done, and so the one is definitely, I should have just burned the $10 bill.
Yeah, everyone says that. You know, I had North Carolina and Arizona is my final two, and Arizona, of course, got beat last night, but tonight, at the end of the show, stay with us because we will switch over and we will have the Butler Bulldogs and the North Carolina Tar Heels will be the game, first game out of the shoot tonight, starting at, I think tip time is scheduled for 7:09. So good stuff on that if you're with us on Friday night. If you're with us on Saturday, we don't know what happened on the games. You'll have to check that out on WGCLradio.com or your favorite source for your sports news. Yeah, but big basketball weekend after Friday night's game. We'll be down to the Elite Eight, and by Sunday evening, we will have the Final Four, and we'll know those four teams that are heading to Chandler or to Glendale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, it will not be the Purdue Boilermakers. Sadly, it won't be the Michigan Wolverines. So, Wisconsin, the Badgers are the last team left out of the Big Ten, and they have a tough matchup with Florida tonight. So we'll see what happens with that.
But we do still have the Lady Hoosiers in it. We'll talk more about it
in
sports.
We'll talk about them in sports. We're going to give them their whole, an entire segment on their own.
Well deserved to Coach
They have
Moore
earned that.
And the Lady Hoosiers. So as Dr. Piller said, WGCLradio.com. If you miss any part of the show, catch the podcast over there or the repeats. And Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. We'll come back with a little forecast for your weekend, some local news. And then in a few moments, Kent Rolfing from the Drug Suppression Team at the Indiana State Police will be joining us. Stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman, Dr. David Piller with you, and no snow in the forecast.
Thank goodness, Jim. Friday night, 20% chance of showers after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy, low around 57. Saturday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and a possible thunderstorm later in the afternoon. Cloudy, high near 69. Saturday night, again, more rain, possible thunderstorm, low around 54. Then Sunday, showers likely possible, a thunderstorm, high near 64. Early next week, showers likely Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. But the highs, most importantly, are in the 50s up into the 60s. So all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com.
Make plans for the new trash system coming to Bloomington City in late 2017. According to the HT this week, city officials announced their intent to make Bloomington's trash and recycling collection more efficient through automation. What came before the city council on Wednesday was a proposal meant to improve employee safety and wellness, replace aging vehicles, and improve the system's overall efficiency. While the program has yet to reach a, quote, pay-as-you-throw system for low-volume users, such as myself, the switchover can begin. Our friend Adam Wason from the Department of Public Works, he's the director out there, said they want to create a sustainable approach. So the anticipated timeline for the 35, 64, and 95-gallon carts is expected to start rolling out in September. Wason said that's when the time residents will be alerted of the impending change and expects first automated services to begin at the start of October, just at the beginning of leaf season. Purchase and implementation of the automated trucks will stagger over 12 to 18 months with a six-month wait between the order and delivery of the truck. And then once they're on the road, users will have 2 months to exchange their carts for a more appropriate size before a $50 replacement fee is incurred. Capital expenditure, $2.5 million this year. Secure 2 automated side-loading trucks, 2 semi-automated back-loading trucks, 8 automation attachments for existing trucks, and 16,000 trash carts and 16,000 recycling carts. Sweet. Jeez. Mother, that's a lot of wheels. So be ready. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. What else do we have here? Jim, Comcast and AT&T are now promising gigabit speed broadband service to much of Bloomington, but the way each internet service provider will do so will be very different. News of Comcast statewide Xfinity gigabit service on Wednesday night came just hours before AT&T announced its Internet 1000 launch in Bloomington and other Indiana markets. While both companies look to elevate Bloomington to gigabit speeds, AT&T will use a 100% fiber system and Comcast will provide the same speeds over an existing system that's a hybrid of fiber and coaxial cable. Both announcements this week come at a time when the city of Bloomington is investigating a citywide fiber infrastructure through the Canadian company Axia. This is still a trial, and we're going to be watching this closely, but it's something we're already proud of because we've already tested this in other places, said Mike Wilson, public relations director for Comcast in Indiana. Indiana is the fifth state to be included in the trial. Geographically, this is a significant release because we don't just do big towns. It's the ubiquity aspect of it that I think is so great about this. Comcast characterized its gigabit service as fast enough to download a 5-gigabyte high-definition movie in 40 seconds, a 15-gigabyte video game in 2 minutes, and a 150-megabyte digital media player MP3 album in less than 2 seconds. Wilson said an absolutely vast majority of Bloomington residents can sign up now to begin the process of receiving the $139.95 per month internet service. Wilson said preventative circumstances such as non-compliant building owner or exclusivity contracts with other carriers will be gaps in service may occur. AT&T Internet 1000 already runs on the gigabit speeds in Indianapolis metro area, but Thursday's release announced the launch of a 100% fiber network in parts of Bloomington and Greenfield. The AT&T Internet 1000 will be available for as little as $80 per month with a 12-month commitment. After those 12 months, the price will move into a standard rate of $119 per month. Woo, Jim, 120 $20 to $140 for internet.
Mm-mm-mm.
To go down to Wee Willie's and get my free Wi-Fi and just settle for that.
Blooming Foods had a location out on East 2nd Street, and they announced this week that they have a new owner for the building. They have not said who it is just yet. They're unable to disclose the buyer. It is not me.
No. All right. Just
I can tell you that much. Blooming Foods general manager Tony Alonghi said to the HT this week, the question about this is that Switchyard Brewing Company had signed a letter of intent to move in there and actually held a kind of a ribbon-cutting ceremony just a couple of months back, and that letter of intent and agreement expired in the middle of February. Switchyard is quoted on Facebook as saying that we only know as much as the general public. We're doing our best to follow up with those involved and plan to release a full statement once we have more information available. Switchyard was a big startup. A lot of people helped do a Kickstarter program for them. So we'll see who the new owner will be of the building.
All right. Then healthier animals and better utilization of space are among the goals of planned renovations of the Bloomington Animal Shelter. On Monday, the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission approved a $1.94 million contract to begin renovations at the shelter with a project completion date of January 31st, 2018. Now, I assume, Jim, since I-69 people are not working on the animal shelter, it might actually be done near January 31st of 2018.
No comment.
Neither here nor there. I think it is an excellent project, said David Walter, a Redevelopment Commission member. That facility needs renovation. Looking forward to seeing it finished. Bloomington Animal Care and Control Director Virgil Souter said officials have discussed the animal shelter project for several years. In 2011, a building analysis and study examined both current and future needs of the facility and found numerous deficiencies with the existing structure, including lighting, drainage, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. It was determined the renovations were necessary in order to provide better care for shelter animals and create a safer environment for guests. Souter said the shelter currently uses a lot of shared spaces, which isn't ideal when working with animals. The project will create more space available per cat. The shelter is currently below recommended guidelines and provide volunteers an adequate space to work with the animals and the public. Dogs and puppies will also get additional space with the renovation. And along with animal control, the shelter provides space for the Monroe County Humane Association. Jim, happy National Puppy Day.
Yes.
To Gracie and Beef and the whole group.
Georgie
and
yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
So that was great.
And no matter how old they get, they're still puppies.
That's a fact.
We're going to take a break, and Kent Rolfing from the Drug Task Force of the Indiana State Police will be joining us in just a couple moments.
Yes, hopefully he'll use the doorknob and not bust the door down.
We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman along with David Piller, and welcoming back into the studio, Kent Rolfing, Indiana State Police Trooper with the Drug... How did you pronounce it just a minute ago that I've already forgotten?
Drug Task Force Team.
Drug Task Force Team. You've been on a couple times with us. You're a good guy. You bring a lot of good stuff to this show.
Well, I'm glad I can entertain you guys.
That's it. So we want to know right now, who's going to be the new IU basketball coach?
Well...
Oh, is that what he's here for?
Yeah.
He doesn't have red and blue, cream and crimson on. So.
He doesn't, but that's all right.
Yeah,
it's underneath. You didn't see it.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, Kent, what's hot on the street right now?
Well, it's the same as last time.
Same as last time.
The meth and the heroin is what we are seeing the most, and that's kind of what we concentrate on is the meth and the heroin. So we're seeing the same as last time we talked.
So certainly don't want to take that lightly, and I'm certainly not making light of a serious topic, but it is a big deal. It's in the news a lot lately. How are things in Indiana? You know, we had the issues with the southeastern part of the state. Maybe last time we talked, there was a lot going on with needle exchanges and so on and so forth. What's happening statewide right now on this topic of meth and heroin?
Yeah, we're still seeing the same thing. We're still seeing numerous cases of heroin and meth, seizures. The information's still as high as it's always been since I've been part of this task force team. You know, the needles exchange, I'm still hearing things of different counties trying to combat the problem, and that's just because of the overdoses that mm-hmm. we're seeing, and that's all from the heroin. People really aren't overdosing on methamphetamine. They're overdosing on the heroin.
Right. Mm.
So it's about the same.
Well, and then synthetic drugs are still evolving daily,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and the tough thing about the synthetics is, you know, our canines, for example, they're not certified on synthetics because the chemical compound of it changes so often. It's made in a lab, or I call it a lab.
usually not gentlemen in white coats with degrees on the wall and goggles and those sorts of things, right?
These scientists. So
yeah,
the synthetics, it's constantly changing. So our dogs, we can't train our dogs on that. And that's also the issue with, you know, people just don't know what they're putting into their bodies when they're using these synthetics.
What do people say when you and your colleagues meet them in these situations? Are they apologetic? Do they realize what they're doing? Are they proud of themselves for the fact that they've been able to do all this? I mean, what's the general, I mean, does everybody have their own, I just can't imagine what their mindset is,
yeah.
I guess.
I've seen them, I've seen just everything you've just explained. I've seen people that are proud of it, people that don't care. And then I've seen a lot of people that are apologetic and know that what they're doing is ruin their lives, and they want to try to get help. But the problem with the meth and the heroin is it's so addictive. It's just so hard to get off of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically the first time you use both drugs, your body is addicted to it. And that's the issue. So, like I said, I've seen highs and I've seen lows from all sorts of people.
And
so.
And there's no standard walk of life of the person who's doing this stuff either.
Nope, there isn't. You'd be surprised at some of the people that are using it. Usually you can tell if somebody's pretty heavily using one of the two. But you'd be surprised with some of the type of people out there that you probably know that is maybe experimented with it and still using it.
Not just the stereotypical with the meth users, the sores on their face and arms and the teeth loss and that very googly spaced out look in their eyes.
Yep.
But
that's a heavy user. I've seen plenty of those in my career, but those aren't the most common.
Really?
That we see all the time. So
man.
So something that kind of hit. I don't remember if it was before or after we were here last time, but near my hometown in Ohio, there was a picture that went out of a man and a woman passed out in the front seat of a car with a small child in the background. And that was 20 minutes north of where I grew up in East Liverpool, Ohio. You know, that's typical. I mean, you're seeing
typical.
That is
typical, yes.
And they pushed that out with I remember the department said they're pushing that out with the hopes of just getting people's attention. This is what it looks like. This is what they look like and trying to tug on their heartstrings, for lack of a better way around it. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they're not going to respond to that. What you're saying is these addictions are a lot stronger than any rational thought.
Absolutely. These addictions are putting pictures out like that are good for the media.
Yeah, right.
You know, and for people to understand what is really going on out there and how this affects other people's lives, and especially when you have children involved. But, yeah, the addiction is so strong that it's one of these things that these people are fighting it, you know, their entire lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So with your duty with the Drug Task Force, are you all over the state of Indiana right now, or do you specialize kind of in our region or our area?
Primarily in our area, which is Monroe County, then all the counties that touch it.
Okay.
So Morgan, Brown, Lawrence, Green, and Owen. But from where our drugs come from in this area, a lot of it comes from the Indianapolis area.
Okay.
So we end up in Indianapolis, Marion County, Johnson County quite a bit. And then we have ended up, you know, as far south of just north of Louisville before, because there is places, there is some drugs coming from that way. But centralized in this area is where we focus.
But you guys exist as an Indiana State Police unit all over the state.
Oh, yeah. We have out of the Bloomington Post, we have a drug task force team. And then all the other posts, they have some sort. And then we have a drug enforcement section, which has numerous undercover troopers. That are all over the state. Mm-hmm. So as a state of the whole for the state police, we have numerous guys that are focusing and working 100% of their efforts towards drug enforcement.
Is I-69 going to be an asset, so to speak, or for drug dealers? I mean, is that a new way of traveling up the line?
Once I-69 is done, that will be a drug highway for us.
So even interstates, it's not flying it in, it's not packing it on your body, so to speak, and sneaking it in. It can be in the back of a car kind of thing.
Absolutely. There, I think just yesterday I read that there was one of our troopers in the Putnamville area stopped a commercial motor vehicle, a semi, and had $1 million worth of different types of narcotics on it. And then the first week that I-69 was open here in the Bloomington area, a couple of our local Bloomington troopers made a traffic stop and got $20,000 to $30,000 worth of cash and about 50 pounds of marijuana. So we're going to see that. We have seen that already. Once that's completely done, you're going to have a straight shot from basically the southern part of the United States all the way to the northern part of the United States.
So without interfering or maybe giving away your secrets, when you make a traffic stop like that, what would tip you off that someone would happen to have $30,000 in cash with them? I mean, they have hundreds laying on the seats because they're that stupid? Or, I mean, how's that?
Well, Dave, I can't give all my secrets.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. But
you could ask him, David.
Usually,
I mean,
I'm like trying to dig change out of the cup holder, so I really can't imagine like trying to scrape together $1.06 so I can get, you know, like a little double cheeseburger. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, But I mean, I can't imagine a traffic stop that pulls off that ends up with $20,000 or $30,000.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, sure. Sometimes it's just straight luck for us. And I know in my career, and we can all admit that we've missed things that on.
Oh, sure.
It's just human nature. But
right.
Yeah, when we find a load like that, which we refer to, we're very excited just because
sure.
we knew that we just took a lot of most likely drug money off the streets, and then that goes into the funds that we can use it for. And then if we can take a decent sized load of some type of narcotic off the streets, that just helps the issue that we're facing.
And then is it incinerated? Is that what you guys
do?
Yeah,
eventually. Once it goes through the court process,
right.
We get a court order to destroy it, and
right.
then it will be incinerated and destroyed. Yeah.
Don't flush it, Jim.
No,
you're not supposed to flush pills down the toilet. That's
no,
what I read.
I know. I don't know why I'm saying that I know, like I know that, but there's been so much talk about this in Bloomington and Southern Indiana, this drug problem. Are we isolated? Are you hearing about this from other guys in the state police or even across the country? I mean, is this isn't just a Hoosier thing right now, is it?
No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the United States. I feel like we hear about it the most in Indiana because the last few years we've kind of led the country in meth lab seizures for four or five years. But it's everywhere.
There's a double-edged sword for you. We got a bunch of them, but we're cracking down on them. So I guess that's good.
Yeah, obviously, right? Yeah. So, when we say that, we've led the country, it's one, we're probably making a lot of arrests, more arrests than other people, or more than other states. It's not meaning that we just got this huge, huge problem like, everybody else doesn't.
Right.
We're being fortunate and got a lot of guys
good
there,
for us, but, yeah. Great job. Yeah.
Getting things done.
And then with that, are these... once they're convicted, are they spending enough time like they should in the jail?
It's case by case.
Yeah.
It's case by case.
Yeah.
It just depends. It depends off a guy. This is the third, fourth, fifth time he's been arrested for the same thing. And it all depends on, how much he has. And there's different factors go into it. But, in our area, the court system's doing a pretty good job of putting people in jail that needs to go to jail. And,
what's the male to female ratio on what you're finding with users or people that are?
That's a really good question. I've never really thought about it. Honestly, probably about half and half.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, it's probably half and half.
On the user side or on the dealer side? Which one are you asking, Dave?
Either way.
Okay.
I feel like more males are dealers.
Yeah. There's probably a certain level of danger that goes with that. Obviously.
Yeah. There is,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's a.
My God, if you came busting down through my door, I'd be scared to death. So I don't, I did. So, I, yeah, anyway, that's neither here nor there. But still,
yeah, you're okay.
I think the users is probably, we see about 1-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
With female and male.
Man. We're talking with Kent Rolfing from the Indiana State Police. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with much more of this in-depth discussion. This is... this is a very interesting topic.
And
you bring good stories.
Going to be the basketball coach. That's really the big news.
That's the big news. Yep. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back once again to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Dr. David Piller, along with Kent Rolfing from the Indiana State Police and Drug Suppression Team. We're talking about education. You guys are in the schools are a fair amount, correct?
We are. Like we were just discussing, one of our big things by the superintendent Doug Carter of the state police is be in and out of schools, and a lot of our day shift road guys who wear uniforms are in and out of the schools all the time. And that's a big part of where we're kind of progressing as an agency is as our superintendent wants us visible in our schools.
Are you seeing some positivity with that in terms of the feedback from the kids? And
oh, absolutely. I've seen first, when we weren't as in school as much, kids would see that uniform, see that car, and, kind of be scared. But now they realize, hey, we're humans, and we
right.
we can talk just to, like you, just as anybody else.
Right.
There is a huge positive there.
And I hate to ask, but you may occasionally have a kid who said, this is what's going on in my home or my neighborhood or
absolutely.
Something else, and
absolutely.
They realize what's going on.
Yep. I just saw on Wish TV before I came in here that a child brought cocaine in his pocket to school today on accident and told the teachers his dad's dealing cocaine up, I believe, in Anderson area.
Wow.
So things like that happen all the time. We get information through the kids, and...
Wow.
It happens all the time.
You got to be a stupid father to leave that stuff out and
hey, kid, here you go. Take this to
I mean, there's a
today.
There's a lot of different directions you can go with that one. It is good. You know, we've got great relationships in MCCSC, of course, with multi-agencies serving our community here with four of you ultimately being around in the schools. It's a great thing. Any sort of specific community drug education programming that's coming out of the State Police Department?
Nothing specific. It's just general. Like I said, we've got a few of our troopers out of the Bloomington area that are very adamant about being in the schools.
Right.
We have one in particular that's in and out of schools all the time, and it's more or less school safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, educating the administrators and the teachers, mm-hmm. Different things that go on. But yeah, we're in there all the time for different things.
Are you doing this for businesses as well? I mean, are people who own a retail store and kind of concerned about the clientele that may be coming in? Or do you do any outreach like that as well? Or
not as much as the schools.
Yeah.
You know, if people obviously flag us down and want to talk to us, we'll definitely
sure.
make a presence. You know, we're kind of going towards the community policing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new kind of the thing. And a lot mm-hmm. of agencies are like that. But yeah, we're in the schools all the time, and I know now it's very common for a school corporation to have a school resource officer there during the school hours all the time. We as the state police in the Bloomington area, we're at Eastern Green and also Lighthouse Christian Academy. There's one of us there while school hours are in all the time.
Yeah. Remember you, one of the last times you were on the show talking about... you knew that a lot of people had your cell phone number and you didn't know who those people were. If they have a tip or insight or something like that, they reach out to you whenever they feel the need, so
they
to speak.
They absolutely do. I get text messages and phone calls from random numbers all the time.
Your wife must be pretty accepting with that.
When she sees what we're talking about, she realizes it's
your wife is a very nice lady. I say that because I know Kim. So.
I get my cell phone number out to numerous people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the best way to communicate is, you know, shoot me a text, give me a phone call, and we'll chit-chat. And we get people, and the community has been awesome. They're literally calling with information all the time. We get information on a daily basis from the community on different things, whether it be, you know, hey, this is legitimately going on, they know it, or hey, this seems a little suspicious, my neighbor's doing something,
mm-hmm.
I want to remain anonymous. And that's what we do. There's no names thrown out there.
Right.
But the community has definitely reached out to us, and it's helped out a lot.
So what are you looking for? Random car, random visitor action? I mean, that's got to be one of the big ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, anything that's not normal.
Yeah.
You know, when you got a residence that has numerous vehicles come and go after a short period of time, and vehicles that have never been seen there,
mm-hmm.
you know, neighbors always are watching. You know, that's suspicious, and that's something we look at.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't mean we're going to, right then we can go get a search warrant and kick your door in or
right.
whatnot. There's different ways we approach it. But, yeah, that is a big thing. You know, just random, constant traffic, all hours of the night, all hours of the day, just different vehicles all the time. That's suspicious to anybody.
But people, you know, I think a great message on this end of things is encouraging people, if you see something, say something. I mean, we tell kids that all day, every day, but it's no different in the outside world. You know, the big thing right now, I think, obviously, with the state police and nationally is the two young girls up in Delphi.
Right.
And that's the thing where they've said they've just been flooded with tips. And, yeah, I mean, some people are going to argue, yeah, bad tips are going to be a waste of resources. But, man, you never know where those things are going to lead. And I would have to think it's the same mentality on something like this.
Yeah, you never just know.
I mean,
it's, you know, sometimes you might think, oh, that's nothing. But it could be something big.
But you have one piece of information that, as a resident might have, for example. But the police may have three other dots that all of a sudden that's the connecting piece that brings something else together.
Yeah,
so you can just
point.
Never underestimate what your information might contribute to a larger picture that you're not aware of.
You're exactly
yeah.
right. You know, that there's different agencies when we share information all the time. And when someone runs across us, you know, some individual, and we, like you just said, we jot down different things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be the connecting dots of what we need to figure out where the issue is. And it might seem small to the person calling in, but it's huge to us.
Yep. Wow. Or all of a sudden it might just be that next piece of information that, you know, we've heard this name a couple times over the last couple weeks, and now, you know, you just hear it, that, you know, it happens again. And it's certainly not to bring out negatives in kids, but when you hear someone's involved in something once, you're like, who knows? And then twice, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, I'll remember that. And then after a few more times, and all of a sudden it's like, we probably ought to check this out.
Yep.
And that's the That's the reality. In our world, it's, you know, stealing a bag of chips from the cafeteria. In Ken's world, a little bit bigger, but at the same time, you know, it's just the sort of way you have to investigate, I guess, right?
You were talking in the break, Kent, about the drugs being the bad batch of heroin. And you mentioned a drug, I forget what it was called now, that you said if it's cut incorrectly can pretty much kill somebody instantly. Was it fentanyl? Is that
what? Fentanyl. That's the big thing that they're cutting the heroin with.
Now, I'm stupid. I'll admit it. What does cutting it with mean? Is that like a where you mix it?
Jim clearly has not seen Breaking Bad.
I have not. So I don't know what this means.
Yeah, when you cut a drug, for example, like we're talking about heroin, when you cut heroin with fentanyl, and the reason they cut it with fentanyl is it produces another high for the user, the person using the heroin. Basically, all you're doing is making your product larger.
Okay.
So when you break it up into certain amounts, the person dealing it has a larger amount now, and they can make more money. And that's the only reason they cut it.
So it's knocking the purity down a little bit, but by the same token, giving you a little extra kick.
You're right. And that's why the fentanyl is used, is because it will give you a high of just using the fentanyl. But fentanyl is very dangerous. Can't kill you.
And is fentanyl one of these drugs that's part of Sudafed? I mean, because I know you can't always go to CVS and buy cold medicine when you need it because of some of this stuff. Where's that connection at?
Fentanyl, they're getting it in different ways. You can't just go buy it.
It's not over the counter.
You're right.
It's okay.
It's prescribed by a doctor. We see it all the time. I've had individuals who were prescribed fentanyl patches where you place them somewhere on your body. Mm-hmm. And fentanyl is used for pain. And I've seen them chewing the fentanyl patches.
Wow.
And they're just eating it.
Oh my gosh.
So I've seen some crazy things. But yeah, you can't just go to the CVS and buy your fentanyl and cut it.
Okay. I admit that I'm green.
We're going to have to get you a list of movies, Jim. We got to see Blow and Wolf of Wall Street and a couple of those other ones that get you caught up.
This is not my scene whatsoever.
So. Well, who would have guessed?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a good guy, Phil. You're a real funny guy.
A lot of street terms out there.
Anyway, that's my backstory. So, if somebody wants to reach out to Indiana State Police, they think there's something going on in their neighborhood or whatever, what do they do?
Yeah, if you think something's going on and it's drug related or anything related, you can call the Bloomington State Police Post if you're in this area.
Mm-hmm.
The phone number is 812-332-4411. You can remain anonymous. You can leave your name, your number. It will never be used.
You're not going to get called into court as a surprise witness or anything.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
If you're willing to give up information, mm-hmm. we're definitely not going to do that. But we get information all the time where people, will leave their name and their phone number, and we'll call them back. And then we get people that just want to remain completely anonymous, doesn't want mm-hmm. to do anything, and we just take the information they provide and we run with it.
And you guys are over off of Vernal, correct? Yeah, off of Packing House.
We're on Packing House Road.
But how do you get to how do you get there now?
Now it's tough. Yeah, it's difficult.
Helicopter, I think, is the best way.
Well, the only way we can get there now is come in off of Curry Pike. Whether you come in off Vernal or Woodyard, and then you access Packing House Road from Woodyard.
Okay.
Or you can come with the overpass now. Basically, it's I think it extends there in the 10th Street area.
Mm-hmm.
You can come from that way. But the quick access of getting off from now the I-69 onto from the post is no
more.
We got to run around. So it is a pain for us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Next IU basketball coach. Who's it going to be?
I think it's going to be Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan. All right, you heard it here.
I think it's going to be Billy Donovan.
Okay.
All right.
Glad you didn't say Steve Alford.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Steve.
Don't think so either. Kent Rolfing, Indiana State Police. Always a pleasure, sir.
Yes, sir.
Stay safe, and we'll have you on.
Thanks
again
for what you do. Yeah, appreciate it.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us. Sports, Dr. Piller, where do you want to begin?
Jim, let's begin with the winning IU women basketball with the Lady Hoosiers.
Yes.
They won again, defeating Southern Methodist, SMU, on Thursday, 64-44. That will lead to another home game for the NIT's Elite Eight, which will be this coming Sunday, 2 o'clock at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, if the Lady Hoosiers are able to get past Villanova. They will go on to play in the NIT Final Four.
So we are confirmed for Simon Scott this Sunday. Okay.
2 o'clock
when
on
I
Sunday,
checked
yeah.
and made the agenda earlier, it was still blank on iuhoosiers.com.
Chuck was with Glass this morning and confirmed it. And,
okay.
Yeah, we are good to go with Villanova coming to Bloomington.
And as Glass and Chuck did say, attendance matters to keep it at Simon
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, this is it, though. This is the last game because I believe after this it goes to I would think it might be New York City. I'm not 100% positive. I'm sorry about
I'll
that.
Goog.
You'll
I'll
research.
Get the
goog. It's really awesome. We have our own research team here with Bloomington Review. So, but anyway, yeah, fantastic game last night with Tyra Buss actually only scored 8 points. Her streak of double-digit games ended after dozens and dozens. So, but a great team effort, great defensive effort. Hey, I'm telling you, you give up 44 points in a game, that is lockdown defense. So congratulations to Coach Terry Moore and congratulations to our Lady Hoosiers. Outstanding. That runs the record. You get what I'm saying there, Jim? It mm-hmm. is a record of 23-10. That's the most wins that this program has ever had in a single season. HT did a great job earlier this week of showing all of the other records that the team has taken. So that's very cool.
So the championship game is going to be played on Saturday, April 1st, according to womensnit.com, at school to be determined.
Wow, okay. The men for the NIT, they go to New York City
for
the Final Four once that's decided. And so, yeah, I guess for the women's NIT, they are going to keep it on campus, which – if that's the case, that's even more reason, fans, get out there and go see some games because we absolutely want to continue to host these games. So,
yep. So one more week to that championship.
Great job. IU baseball 10-8-1 defeated Cincinnati on Wednesday 3-2. They are in Evanston starting off the Big Ten season against Northwestern this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if the weather holds. They're looking at some severe weather all over the country. So
they bumped the start time of Wednesday's game a couple hours because it was so bitter cold.
Yeah, so just check out iuhoosiers.com to make sure that everything that you're planning on attending or watching or whatever else is good to go. Six-game stretch, though, coming up in Bloomington starting next week. Tuesday night against Evansville, Wednesday against Indiana State, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday at home against Nebraska before coming back on Tuesday against Ball State. So 6 nights, again, if weather holds, get out to Kauffman Field and check out the Hoosier baseball team. Mm-hmm. Women, I believe, are home for softball this weekend. So, again, a great facility, good times. Check them out. And then Coach Ray Luce has the IU swimming and diving team up at Indianapolis at the Natatorium for some great national championship, NCAA national championship swimming and diving stuff. So really, again, just a lot of great IU athletics happening this time of year, kind of in a slight dead period for IHSA spring sports. But this is the IHSA boys finals weekend, so you certainly want to check that out on your local broadcasting stations. No one really local, Lafayette Central Catholic against Tinley in the 1A game that starts at 10:30. Frankton and Crawford County, local legend from Eastern Green, Levi Carmichael, is the mm-hmm. head coach at Crawford County, former coach at North, former coach at Eastern Paoli, been a couple other places. Twin Lakes and Crispus Attucks at 6 o'clock in the 3A game, and then Fort Wayne North take on Mark James and the Ben Davis Giants, 8:15 in the 4A. And that will do it for high school boys basketball regular season. You saw earlier this week, Chance Coyle from South, Musa Jallo from North were put on the junior all-star team. So congratulations to both of them. And then what else do we have this week? Oh, 20 years. It's been 20 years now since the last open single class basketball championship, of course, which was won by Tom McKinney's Bloomington High School North Cougars.
We've got a great jersey and sign in the WGCL lobby
Very cool.
Yep.
So kind of neat to think that they were the last ones, and kind of amazing to think it's been 20 years since that. So anyway, what else we got,
next
Jim?
Next Thursday, guys coming to town.
Next Thursday, yeah, Coach Knight will be here. He'll be at Bloomington North. I haven't seen if tickets are still available. There might be, so you can check in with Bloomington North's athletic webpage. It's fundraiser for North. So you want to check them out to see if you're still interested in coming. But
retired HT sports editor Bob Hamill is going to be the moderator.
Yes.
Don't really know how the format's going to be. It's general seating.
Yeah, you know, I saw Coach Knight speak at the Little Nashville Opry. So it's been that long ago, probably 08, 09, 07, 08, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just him on stage kind of in a conversation setting So I would assume it's probably going to be about the same thing. That would be my guess. I don't think this is going to be a question and answer from the crowd thing. I think this is just going to be a talk, and he's going to cover some topics, and Bob will throw some things out to him. So that would be my guess. Again, as we said earlier, when you are finished with us at the top of the hour, stay tuned to WGCL. We'll have Butler in North Carolina with the tip, one of the last Elite Eight games that we have this weekend. We've got Wisconsin and Florida, Baylor and South Carolina. And then kind of the big one I think people are probably really looking at with some blue bloods would be UCLA and Kentucky. So after tonight, we'll have four teams left from those four. We'll have Kansas and Oregon, Gonzaga and Xavier tomorrow. And then by Sunday evening, we will have a Final Four about who will be going to Phoenix April 1st, April 3rd, Saturday, Monday. Great stuff.
So the final two games on April 1st is the same day as the women's NIT, just an FYI.
There you go. Okay,
so
good to know.
If the Hoosiers or Lady Hoosiers are playing, you may have to split screen it. Or
yeah, we'll get all that figured out. And again, stay tuned to WGCLradio.com, IUHoosiers.com, and all that, and we'll get that straightened out. And then, yeah, Jim, you know, a nice interview. Tom Crean did a great interview with Sports Illustrated, did some stuff with Bob Kravitz, too, about just – kind of where he is. He said his career is just paused. It's not over by any means. We knew that. Tom was going to coach again. Cal is now filled. So it's kind of looks like Massachusetts, I think, is kind of the only one that's open right now that's of a bigger job description outside of Indiana. And so everyone keeps tweeting and Facebooking that Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan. We'll see. I think I'm still sticking to my guess that it'll be Steve Alford, but I don't know anything. So we'll see what happens, but stay tuned because I'm sure we'll find out.
We're going to take a break and wrap up the show. Stay with us. Dr. Piller. Let's wrap it up.
Jim, we've got 20% chance of showers later on this evening, mostly cloudy, low around 57. Rain this weekend, lots of it. So stay tuned to WGCLradio.com. But the temperature, 69 on Saturday, 64 on Sunday. But likely that we're going to have some showers or maybe even thunderstorms. So stay tuned to WGCLradio.com for all of that. I was right. We do have softball in town this weekend. They're playing Rutgers. But again, make sure you stay tuned to IUHoosiers.com as times could get moved around based on weather and such.
If you've had your head in the sand for the last couple of hours, it was announced late Friday afternoon, Republicans unable to find enough support for the Obamacare repeal plan. More on that on your national news here on WGCL. Thanks again to Kent Rolfing from the Drug Task Force for the Indiana State Police. We love to have him on and hopefully have him back on again later on this year. Tomorrow, if you're out and about and looking for something fun to do, come to the Buskirk Chumley for the Miss Kiwanis pageant.
Yeah, who will be emceeing that event?
Yours truly will be
all
on
right,
the microphone for that. So,
very nice. Very
that
nice.
Starts at 6 or 6:30 at the Buskirk Chumley. And big plans for the weekend, sir?
No, I think we're going to be laying low this weekend. That would be my guess. Maybe see the women's basketball game. Again, the Lady Hoosiers, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And maybe take in a little bit of Devour B-Town. Go out to www.devourbtown.org or visit bloomington.com to get some information on that.
We got to roll. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.